D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get to the Titans, I do want to read one quick text on Vanderbilt from Scott. Mm-hmm. Scott is responding to the other texter who was critical of Tim Corbin. Scott says, failure to answer Vitello's rise, LOL. Just went 3-1 against them, run ruled them, and won two SEC tournaments the last 3 years and got the overall number one seed. That's not an answer? LOL. Get out of here.
Things speak for itself.
We're going to talk about Vanderbilt and Tennessee to start the third hour.
And I'm not trying to throw any, you know, shade at UT's way, because Tony Vitello has been great. But don't diminish Coach Corbin's record or what he's been able to do and what he's still doing just because Tony V has his team on the upcoming.
So we spent a lot of time We know what you meant.
Yes.
We spent a lot of time last week discussing Brian Callahan's approach to the offseason. How he has split up the Titans into 8 teams, and they compete on the field after practice as a way to drum up competition during the offseason workout. And we've heard from some players talk about it. We played Tony Pollard's cut on it from last week. We've heard from Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, if I recall correctly, was hosting his football camp over the weekend, and Calvin Ridley was asked about Brian Callahan's offseason approach. This is what Calvin Ridley had to say.
I've been on teams that we're not connected. I just show up and I go home. It's got to be connected. That's how those teams are winning. Like, I mean, those teams that are winning, they're friends, they're brothers, they're homeboys. They eat together. They hang out. They go hang out with each other. If you don't have that, I don't think not one team has won a Super Bowl that didn't have that. I bet you the Eagles, they were friends. I bet you they were boys. I bet you they hung out. And that's all Coach Cali is doing. He's trying to make us be boys and homeboys, or whatever you want to call it, brothers, before we get into camp, when we could just be separate ourselves from each other. You want to bring the team together and do team competitions. All we're doing is competing. We're competing in everything we do at work right now. And I think it's great.
So that was Calvin Ridley over the weekend. Now, Derek, you've been telling the people exactly what Calvin Ridley just said. But it seems like a lot of those same people still think that Brian Callahan is doing a silly little Disney slash summer camp style competition to try to get his team together. But then you hear Calvin Ridley, the team's number one wide receiver, put it in plain English, what this competition means to him and what it could mean for the team. And I feel like you feel that your thoughts are validated.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I started it off last week, or I think I ended it with Michael Jordan was the greatest of all times, not because of his skill. A lot of guys in the NBA had skill. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, anybody that played before him, LeBron James, all of this stuff. But you know what made Michael Jordan the greatest of all time? Because Michael Jordan competed at who can drink their water the fastest. He's one of those type of guys that would compete at who drinks the water the fastest. Guys that love to compete. I didn't love football. I didn't. I love to compete. I love competition. It was just, that was the avenue that God bless me with the ability to play that sport. But make no mistake about it, I competed when we played checkers. I competed when we played cards. I competed when we were playing, you know, in the street football, when we were playing with 2-liter plastic bottles or my sister's teddy bear. We competed. That's what Coach Callahan wants from this team. And for those that think that, oh, this is, you just don't understand, like, And I hate, again, I hate to be that guy that says you didn't play so you don't understand, because I know that it's more than just about playing. Some people don't have to play, but if they're in it, around it long enough, they get a sort of sense of what it's like. For those that have been around it for the last, since 1997 and beyond, I mean, after, and you've really been around it, and I'm talking about those that are on television, those that speak on these mics, you know that competition is the essence of a team. You compete in everything you do. So you shouldn't look at this as, oh, it's some kid thing or some middle schoolish thing. You compete with everything you do. We compete on the radio. Everything that we do is in competition. It's good-hearted, lighthearted competition, but it's competition nonetheless. It's not that I dislike you. We just want to be better than everybody. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with Brian Callahan saying, hey, listen, we are going to make sure that everything, once we walk into this building, everything we do, we're going to compete at it. Because you know what happens then? Competing begets competing and more competing. And it goes from the classroom to the football field to the game, where you're competing at every aspect. Tom Brady's great. Why? He ain't he doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not fast at all. But he competes his ass off. That's one thing. No one can ever say Tom Brady didn't compete. Even on his team, they'll tell you he was A1 competitor. That's what he was. So I don't understand people. The Titans have been bad for 2 years. Let's try this. It's like y'all screaming about how bad this team is and how dysfunctional it is. And then when a coach say, this is some of the things we're going to, oh, that's high schoolish. That's middle schoolish. Nobody does that. Yeah, there are a lot of teams that do it. We did it. And I'm talking about starting from 97 till I retired in 2010. So people, don't, when you're listening, form your own, how you feel about this. If you are a competitor, you've been a competitor, you understand the reasons why he's doing this. If you don't care anything about competition, then you see this as childish and high schoolish. But in actuality, it's team building. Two, it's competition. Competition breeds team building, or team building breeds competition, whichever one you want to put first. But there's nothing wrong with what Callahan is doing, nothing at all.
You said it well, D-Mace. I agree wholeheartedly. Like we talked last week, I've had my experiences with similar types of systems day in and day out at practice and games where you reward competition, you reward hustle, it's team building. All that is intangible, what you see out of it, but I think that it has a value. You can't put your finger on it, which is why if you're a fan from afar and a team has struggled, which is what the Titans are right now, they're a struggling franchise, people are going to be skeptical of everything you do until you start winning. And then when you start winning for a while, they'll believe in anything you do until it goes wrong. So that's just the nature of how it goes. So I get it. That's why people are questioning this, but I believe 100% in the method behind the scenes of how you do it. And by the way, speaking of competitors, a shout out to Tom Brady for getting in the back of the Indy car. I don't know if you saw that. Michael Strahan was actually driving one of the cars, the pace car, I think. And then Tom Brady was in the back of an actual Indy car where the guy was just roaring around the track. I got a chance to do that years and years ago to see what it was like to drive at that kind of speed. Holy cow.
The only race I watched this week was the Weenie 500, which was when the Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles raced around Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You found that enjoyable, huh?
Who won?
Yeah.
The Wienermobile.
The Weenie bus.
At one point, the announcer said something like, "Nobody likes a slippery wiener," or something like that, while describing the action. I'll have to find that clip for David to play at some point. But before I do want to talk to Derek about Calvin Ridley, the player. But I do have a suggestion for one of these offseason competitions for Brian Callahan. If he's looking for something to freshen it up, His competition should be chasing around. His players need to chase around my three-year-old at one of those indoor play gyms, which is what I did on Sunday. My son has a favorite one in particular. It's in Madison. It's dinosaur-themed. And my son is still that age where he does want me to participate in things. I know that's going to change at some point. But it's not good enough for him to go through the play gym. Dada has to go through the play gym as well. So I'm stuffing myself into these tunnels and tubes and crawling. I can barely fit in these things. I can only imagine what an offensive lineman would have to do to fit. Imagine Tavondre Sweat trying to fit into one of those little tunnels. I was beat up after this thing, man. I've got bruises on my knees and my elbows from crawling in this. So if Brian Callahan if he needs a suggestion, I suggest your players chasing around either my son or their child in one of these indoor play things, because it's a workout,
team building.
Man.
Yeah, it's team building.
Oh, man.
Father-son building. There you go.
At one point I said, Arlo, Dada needs a break. He says, I know you can do it, Dada.
That's all the motivation you needed.
He did not want me to stop. That's all the motivation you needed,
man.
So, Brian Callahan, if you're looking for something else to do, there's a suggestion. But I do want to ask Derek about Calvin Ridley. I was doing some research about Calvin Ridley over the weekend. He averaged 15.3 air yards per target last season, which was the second highest in the NFL. The only qualified receiver who was higher, if I recall correctly, was Alec Pierce of the Indianapolis Colts. Ridley was targeted 27 times on deep passes, which means the ball traveled at least 20 air yards. Mm-hmm. 27 targets on deep passes. The next closest Titans receiver was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine with 8. Now, I know Ikhine had multiple long touchdowns, but they were more catch and runs versus Will Levis or Mason Rudolph airing the ball out. So the Titans absolutely need another receiver who can stretch the field so that Ridley's not the only deep threat. I wonder if it could be DK, because DK has, if I'm not mistaken, the fastest 40 time among the Titans receivers. So I'm just thinking, what are some ways that the Titans can find someone else who can stretch the field, because Calvin Ridley was their only deep threat last season?
Yeah, he was. And listen, it's hard when you are the long guy and, you know, teams are finding ways to take you out the game. And some days you may have a good day, some games you may have a not so good day. But it's always going to be sort of an up and down if you don't have that bona fide number two guy. Calvin Ridley is a damn good receiver. He is a number one receiver in this league. I think what happened with him last year is they didn't start off when I was saying, you know, that need not be his excuse. That should never come out of his mouth. They need to be on the field more. All this stuff that I was talking about that other people were saying, you know, no, he not this. And I'm like, I am telling y'all, because I've been there, when you have a new quarterback, y'all got to build that rapport very quickly. And the league don't allow for it, because they, instead of giving you more days, they've taken days away. All because of you wanted those days taken away. And now these are the things that you don't benefit from, is a guy not having the time that he needs with a young quarterback. So it took them a minute to sort of build their rapport. They end up building it. Quarterbacks get benched, and then Rudolph comes in and he builds a rapport with him as well. What Calvin Ridley has been able to do, see, people don't understand this. He's been able to adapt to both quarterbacks. Every receiver can't do that. And anybody that hasn't played that position, you can't tell me that they can. Every receiver can't do that. Only a few receivers, like a handful of receivers, that can adapt to each quarterback in a given season, one given season. We know who the top guys are. They adapt. But when you look at Calvin Ridley, you say, oh, he is a number one. He had to adapt to two quarterbacks that, frankly, were not starting quarterbacks. He's played with two non-starting quarterbacks and still has been able to go out there and be a bright spot on that offense in the passing game. Get a better offensive line, get a better quarterback, which I believe they do have now in Cam Ward. And Calvin Ridley will become that number one guy that we saw in Atlanta.
And Derek,
he will be that guy.
And you said previously that if you were Calvin Ridley, you would be attached at the hip to Cam Ward.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime that Cam Ward has a football in his hands, Calvin Ridley needs to be there.
Yeah, because you have a young man right now that some of his success is tied to you. And they're banking on you. The organization is banking on you to help this young guy. So if that is indeed the case and you understand that, and I believe Calvin Ridley understands it, you need to be on the hip of Ward. If Ward's here in Nashville, you need to be here in Nashville. If Ward's throwing in Nashville, you need to be there to catch the pass. If Ward says at 11 o'clock in the morning, hey, listen, I know it's Saturday. Man, let's get a couple of throws in. All right, let's do it. Let's take 30 minutes out of the day and get some throws in. Anything you can do to help this young quarterback once he steps foot on that field opening day, you need to do it as a receiver. There's no excuses now. But I do believe that because of what Calvin Ridley has been able to do with the two quarterbacks that he had last year, the offensive line that wasn't good last year, and him being truly the only deep threat that they have, the more time he spends with Cam Ward, the better that offensive line gets. And if one of those guys can at least step up, maybe two can at least step up, you're going to see more of the Calvin Ridley that we saw, or at least I saw, in Atlanta than what you've seen. And he's been a good receiver, but I think you will see what you saw in Atlanta. He was just scratching the surface in Atlanta. If you watched him, he was just scratching the surface in Atlanta. And then unfortunately for him, injuries and all this other stuff happened, and then now he has to start over. He was just scratching the surface. If he can get back to that, which I think he can, you will have your number one receiver. I think he's the number one receiver already, but Titan fans, you will be convinced that he's the number one receiver.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on Calvin Ridley, what he had to say about Brian Callahan's offseason program, and Derek's thoughts as well on Calvin Ridley. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, this offseason competition program, whatever you want to call it, there's a larger issue at heart here about what Brian Callahan is trying to cultivate by doing this offseason competition. And since we have two former high-level athletes in our midst, I want to discuss something with them that I've been thinking about over the weekend. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
To what degree can you see leadership emerge in what you're doing now, and to what degree do you have to wait until more serious long term?
That's a good question. It's something that we've really put a lot of work into. What I mean by that is it's an emphasis for us as well, just like we emphasize trying to eliminate those negative plays and our execution. There is a leadership emphasis, and part of the reason I did what I did with our dividing our team up into teams is now they're all accountable to each other on that team. There's a leadership that starts to grow because now each team has a captain and an alternate, and now you've got more people in leadership spots. One of the things I think is unique about the process is it allows those guys to start to find their own voices, and it's not about, you know, an offense versus defense. It's much more of a holistic team approach to it. We encourage these guys to spend a lot more time together, you know, both in the building and out of it. It's been a focus for us, and I think you can develop leadership. I don't think leaders are necessarily just walk into a room ready to lead. I think there's skills you have to learn. You have to have the communication as a leader. You have to know your teammates. We spend a lot more time trying to get to know each other on a level that I think is going to be beneficial to fostering more leadership for more people. One of the things I tell our team all the time that I think is really important is a lot of times you ask people, how do you lead? You know, and most people say, I lead by example. And my retort to that is there's really no such thing in pro sports. Leading by example is the expectation. That's your job, to be on time, to do what you're supposed to do, to work hard, to study. That's part of that's in your contract, you know. And so my challenge to our team this year was to to do more of the things that, that require bringing people with you, making other people better. And so leadership is something that we talk a lot about. It's a focal point of our offseason. And the idea is that you develop a team full of leaders, and everyone has different styles. But it's something that I think the more people you have that are comfortable in those roles and understand that it's more about, you know, how you interact with people and how you make people around you better, that part of it, I think, is something I'm excited about. So
that was Brian Callahan talking about leadership. And the purpose of this creative off-season program for Brian Callahan is to help develop leaders. Because I think we would all agree that the Titans had a leadership problem last year, or at least a leadership void last year. I was reading an interesting article on A to Z Sports by Easton Fries, talking about how a lot of those natural-born leaders who were there during the Mike Vrabel era, including Mike Vrabel, they're gone, right? Ryan Tannehill, natural-born leader, gone. Derrick Henry, gone. Kevin Byard, gone. Harold Landry, gone. Mike Vrabel, gone. And no true, at least to me, no true leader emerged for the Tennessee Titans last season. Now, when you think about which players should be leaders on the Titans, you might go to Jeffrey Simmons, right? Successful player, big money contract. But I don't think it's unfair to say that Jeffrey Simmons is not a natural leader. At least that's what it appears to me on the outside. We can always recap what happened that one fateful day at training camp when he got into an argument on the radio. But the question I have for Derek and Willie, and Willie, I'll start with you. But Derek and Willie were both high-level athletes. Derek, of course, storied NFL career. Willie played baseball, played basketball at the collegiate level. They've been parts of teams for a very long time. Can leadership be taught, or must it come naturally? Because I'm hearing Brian Callahan discuss how he wants to develop leaders. But I'm wondering if it's something that's innate. If it's something that you have to have. It's like, Willie, it's like what you like to say. You have to have it, right? Like, I'm wondering if Brian, I admire Brian Callahan attempting to do this. I'm just wondering if leadership is something that can actually be taught, or you either have it or you don't. So, Willie, how would you answer that question?
I think to a degree it can be taught, but I'd be curious to see what Derek says here. My belief is it is natural for most of the best leaders. You have it in you. And I think you can improve a lot on what Brian Callahan is trying to teach, right? You're trying to preach what's important about being a good teammate. I think I heard a version. I hear some coaches use different terminology than Callahan did, but it's dragging people into the fight. You know, I think the more people that are dragging other people into the fight, it can't just be your leaders doing that. They need help, right? There's extra layers of people that are in the mix, right? There's a leadership group, and then there's that next wave that's buying in. You need a buy-in from everybody. And pulling people into the fight. I do think you can teach those second layers, those traits, but I do think the leadership, the real leaders, are natural leaders.
Yeah, I think one thing I did sort of, I'm slightly in disagreement with that.
With Callahan?
Yeah, with Callahan said that leading by example, that whole, you know, what he said, leading by example. I believe that is true.
He said that it doesn't exist at the NFL exactly. level because that's just the standard that you should set for yourself every day.
Listen.
More or less?
It exists, and it exists in every locker room. Because I think we're under this false sense of, oh, every leader is voice, you know, they are, you know, loud and boisterous and, you know, demanding and all this other stuff. When in actuality, you have more guys that lead by example than not. And listen, he's right. When you sign that contract, you're, you be here on time, you do the things necessary, and you be a good teammate. But okay, so what if I'm here on time? Okay, but the things that I'm doing after I get here on time, staying late, that isn't in my contract to stay late. It is in my contract to do some of these other little things that I'm just doing because that's who I am. If I'm showing up in the meeting 5 minutes, 10 minutes early, those young guys start to look at that. I ain't got to say anything to them. And they start to follow behind. Why? Because not only do I have success on the field, but you see how it looks. And I may not be yelling and screaming all day. Because contrary to popular belief, there's not a lot of yelling and screaming throughout the building, especially not in the locker room.
Right. I don't.
You hear it on the field, yes, because you got to communicate.
Derrick Henry, for example, never struck me as the yelling and screaming type. But no. Nobody would ever doubt Derrick Henry's leadership ability. My question is, when you look at the Titans roster right now, mm-hmm. guys, who are those natural leaders? Now, we've heard a lot of great stories about Cam Ward mm-hmm. and his leadership abilities, and we'll see how they translate to the NFL level. But think about the top players on the team. And now I also want to point out mm-hmm. that your leaders don't always have to be your top players.
No, it doesn't.
I know that usually they are, but top players don't always have to be your leaders. But let's say we're looking at the top players on mm-hmm. the team. I liked what I heard from Calvin Ridley in that cut we played earlier from his football camp. I'm not sure I would say that Calvin Ridley is that type of leader. Mm-hmm. I don't know about L'Jarius Sneed, especially because he's not on the field right now and he has some legal troubles. I'm not sure I would put L'Jarius Sneed in that category. Tony Pollard, maybe. Like, who do you see on this team, Derek, who stands out to you as that is a clear leader that the Titans should follow?
The problem is those guys that we saw as clear leaders, they're not around anymore. We didn't see them as clear leaders because of they talk loud or, you know, pump their – no, they just they went about doing their business at a high level.
Right, I think
and
about –
everybody looked at them and say, okay, that's the way you need to do it. You need to be available.
Right.
You need to be doing the right things. You need to be setting examples for the guys that are coming in this locker room after you. And those guys were able to do it.
As Willie knows, that you can just tell. Like, Kevin Byard, mm-hmm. like, win or lose, he would answer the questions. He was a team spokesman, mm-hmm. more or less. And you could just tell, listening to him talk, that he had the respect of the locker room and that he had his finger on the pulse of the team and that his words carry weight. You can just tell. Even if you're not in the locker room when the doors are closed, you could just tell. And we've all seen players in our respective worlds. You know, mine from a reporter standpoint, I know it's not the same as being a player, but you can just tell when certain guys are leaders. And Willie, I look at this roster right now, that's the operative phrase, right now, and I'm not sure how many natural leaders I see on it right now.
I think that's fair, and there's going to be a lot of new players. And I think that brings us to Ward, where I think the trick sometimes when you're a rookie, I think he's got the groundwork, right? I was the captain of my high school team, but when I was a freshman on Vanderbilt's team, I wasn't going to be handed the leadership job at all. So there's certain natural progression that has to happen, mm-hmm. and sometimes it takes time. And you've probably seen this, Adam, covering hockey teams where a really talented first overall pick or second overall pick who goes to a bad team is handed the captaincy. I'll give you one from the Titans. Taylor Lewan was given the captaincy as a very young player, and then they had to sort of do a 180 and take it away from him because he wasn't ready his first year or two. He was still maturing. He was not cut out to wear the C or you know, be the captain. And they sort of delivered that message, and sometimes that's tough. So I think there's a natural progression for Ward, but it is interesting when you go into a team that's sort of devoid of the obvious leaders, sometimes you rely too much on young guys, and that doesn't sit very well with veterans sometimes.
Well, that's why you go out and you get a Zeitler. You go out and you get a Lockett. You go out and get some of these guys that were on.
Hopefully Cushenberry.
Cushenberry that were on a winning team. See, here is
Lockett,
the thing.
Lockett is a good call. Yeah. I think Lockett Tyler Lockett. I think Tyler Lockett could be one of those guys.
Here's the thing is that leadership, leading and leadership is different. I think you can have leadership qualities. And I think everybody, I truly believe everybody is born with a sense of leadership qualities, things that can be built on or can be nurtured and developed. But then there's leaders. Leadership quality, if you do it right, that person becomes a leader, whether it be man or woman, sports realm, business realm. Everybody has the leadership qualities, but only a few can be leaders, especially in the realm of sports, because there are so many alphas, whether it be men or women. There's so many alphas out there, A1 personality types, that you know not only need leadership qualities, but you got to learn how to lead too. That's why Taylor Lewan, where he had some leadership qualities, because he was a leader on his Michigan ball club. He had qualities, but it hadn't been developed at the pro level. So you gave it to him early, and he didn't know how to handle it. So you had to pull it back. You got to be careful with Cam Ward, because this team is devoid of leaders. They got a bunch of guys that got leadership qualities, but how many of them are true leaders or had to lead their team? We talked about Lockett very quickly. We talked about Cushenberry or Zeitler, but we're talking about somebody who has been a leader of a team. No one on this ball club has. All of them have leadership qualities. So with that being said, you got to help develop the leadership in Cam Ward or anybody else or any one of these younger guys. That's why I think it's critical and it's smart of him to do these little what people may call high schoolish or middle school games. It's building leadership so we can find leaders. Hear me again, people. He's building leadership, pulling out those qualities, developing them through whatever he's doing, so he can then, when season open up, I got my leaders because they've been through all of this.
615-737-1025. As it relates to the Titans and sports in general, can leadership be taught or must it come naturally? Who among the Titans players do you think has the best chance of emerging as a leader for this franchise? 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Talking Titans leadership. Can leadership be taught or must it come naturally? And who among the Titans players has the best chance to emerge as a leader? Let's go to Dylan on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan, thanks for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I just wanted to weigh in a little bit. So I think that leadership is both. You have some people who are just born naturally with that. You know, you kind of gravitate towards them. You follow them and watch them. And everything that they say, you mimic. But I was in the Navy, and every time you rank up, you get more leadership added onto you, and clearly not everyone that joins is equipped for that type of life and to have leadership. But you do see people who are like quiet, reserved, that type of stuff get put into these roles, forced into these roles every time they rank up, and you see them become like great leaders. And you know, military is, you know, different than sports, but there is like that brotherhood aspect and following, doing what you're told, needing someone to lead you and teach you. So I think it's both. I think there are natural born leaders, but I also do think that it can be taught and learned to a degree, with certain people. So I just wanted to weigh in and speak on that.
Thank you for the perspective, Dylan.
Yeah, I think again, because I think everybody is blessed with leadership qualities. And whatever sort of circles you're in, you know, maybe it sort of, you know, develops in one way or shows up in another. But I think leadership, it's not taught, if this makes sense. It's not necessarily taught it's developed. And some guys and girls can reach a level, and some guys or girls can reach another level. It's hard, you know, maybe you're just the leader of your room, and you haven't developed into a person that can be the leader of 52 other people or 100 other people, but I'm the leader of this group of 10 or group of 5, and I can do that. That's the extent of my leadership. That's where I'm developed. That's some people, that's all they want. But then some people, again, the development is higher than that. So to say I can teach you, I can show you, but I can develop whatever you have in you. I can develop that. And maybe it develops into you being a leader of 52 men, 53 men, however many men it is now, or the leader of the free world, or the leader of your basketball team or baseball team. It's all developed different ways, I think. But I guess to me it's just wording is different. I like to use the word develop rather than taught or teach. That's just me.
Tommy on our text line says, leadership isn't taught. Coach is wrong. Leading by example is definitely a thing. You can't put the rah-rah in someone who has never been that way. The contract doesn't ask for you to lead. It's simply based off your athleticism and performance. Chuck says, leadership is chosen by the followers. People choose religion as an example based on what is feeding them. The same should be said for leadership on a team. Whoever is feeding the team the best will stand out as the leaders, and it will be different each and every year based on the players on that team. And I think, Willie, a lot of Titans fans would say to the question, who among the Titans players currently has the best chance to emerge as a leader? I think a lot of people would say Cam Ward, because he's the number one overall pick. He's the presumed starting quarterback. And we've heard a lot of really great stories about Cam Ward behind the scenes at Miami and before that and during the draft process and how he impressed Titans brass. We've heard all of those things. But I can probably point to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other top drafted quarterbacks who we heard the same things about. And it ultimately did not work at the NFL level in terms of those players being a leader. So early on, I know, how confident are you based on what we know about Cam Ward that he can be that leader?
First, I think these are some interesting takes we've had on our text line. I think they've hit some pretty good notes. I think there will be a great opportunity for Cam Ward to graduate up into that role. Number one, with how he plays, That will be very important, but also just because I think he's got the traits of a leader, but in each new place that you go, you have to earn the leadership. It's not supposed to be given you. I think the last texter had a good take. It's sort of determined by the group who emerges as the leader. There are plenty of teams that have a vote, only amongst the players. You're not appointed a leader. You're voted by your peers as who's the lead dog. I think that's got a lot of merit to it.
And I think we saw that with Will Levis, right?
Yeah.
Will Levis was the starting quarterback last season, but I don't think he exhibited the traits that a natural leader would. And it blew up in the Titans' faces and more than in one way. Matthew in Nashville said, some people are born leaders, some people are taught, and some get it as a graduation gift. Shout out to the late, great Robin Williams. Lenny on our text line says, great leaders learn by observing great leaders, and then they institute leadership to their fellow teammates. So let's use the example of Cam Ward. Now, we're going to talk about this later in the week, but there has been significant turnover on this Titans roster year over year, but there are still some holdovers. So, Derek, if you were Cam Ward, based on the Titans roster as is, who would you be looking to as a mentor of sorts
on the team? Oh man,
you mentioned Tyler Lockett.
I would look to
I think Lockett is a savvy choice there.
Yeah, I would look at Lockett,
but if there's anybody else,
I would look at those offensive linemen. When I say those offensive linemen, I'm thinking more so of Cushenberry and Zeidler.
Yeah,
I'm looking at those guys because I think there needs to be a certain level of connection between you and the center. I think there needs to be a level of connection between you and the center. But then the offensive line in general. But the center is most important, really important, because he is essentially, he's an extension of your eye. So if you can have a good rapport, and if he's a leader, sort of you two can sort of feed off of one another. But it's hard to, for a young guy with a team like the Titans that is devoid, that is voided of, you know, that one sort of like leader that everybody, like, it's a no-brainer. And again, I'm not saying that you don't have guys on that team that can't be leaders. What I'm saying is, when I look at the Titans, it's not like, oh, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, that's easy.
Right.
Kevin Byard, that's easy. Jarrell Kidd, that's easy. I didn't even have to think about that. Now you really got to think. What needs to happen is Cam Ward, he needs to, and one of the texters were right, you know, you want to get around individuals that are where you want to be, especially when it comes to leadership.
And for Cam Ward, yeah, that's not in the quarterback room.
No,
no disrespect to Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle. They've been in the league,
yeah,
but they haven't played, significant.
It's not. Let me say
that being the quarterback is unique in that you're almost expected to be the leader, even
right,
if you don't have some of these natural traits that a leader has.
And I
want to go back to one thing
ahead.
The texter said, because mm-hmm, I think it was a really good point. He said, leaders can be taught by other leaders. So I think of what we talked about in the first hour with Vanderbilt baseball. Tim Corbin has really tried to preserve that environment where the older players help the newer players graduate up into those roles. Those guys move on and graduate, and you've got another round. Those are really good programs, right? I think of good football programs, basketball, and it's harder in this day and age with all the transfers to preserve that. But, high school programs can have that, right, where you have a tradition built, you have an expectation, you have older players who are teaching, the younger players come in. That makes it a lot easier, and it's not there with the Titans right now because they're going through a rough time.
Well, this is a key point in this franchise's history right here. Just think about this. There's a reason why, man. If you look at it, there's a reason why he has the number one, and Warren Moon is back in the picture. It's a reason why. Because I think they understand what we've just been talking about. There's no clear-cut leader on this team. None. Not to say that guys can't be leaders, but there's no – if you would have walked on this team 2 or 3 years ago, okay, Derrick Henry, you watch and listen to Derrick Henry, watch and listen to Kevin Byard, look at these guys that have been here and been leaders. Cam Ward would have been able to do that. But you're asking them to walk in a locker room that doesn't have that anymore. So what do?
You go get.
Let's go get Warren Moon.
Yes.
Let's go get Warren Moon. Warren Moon's been a leader. He continues to be a leader. So let's make sure that Warren Moon has a place in Cam Ward's development. Not to say he's going to be the end-all, be-all, but let's give Warren Moon a place in Cam Ward's development, because we don't have anybody else on this team with that type of experience. Again, Zeitler, Lockett, Cushenberry, yeah, they were leaders, but only one guy can really give him an insight on how to be a leader from the quarterback position, because he doesn't have a 10-year vet that's backing him up. That's Warren Moon. That's where you bring Warren Moon in, and you give him a space in Cam Ward's development to say, all right, Warren. All right, Cam. Warren, do what you do. Do what you do, because right now we don't have that for Cam, and he's going to need it. Again, I'm not disparaging anybody on the Titans team. I think they have some leadership qualities, but you don't have that guy that I look at the team and say, yep, Steve McNair, yep, Eddie George, yep, Kevin Byard, yep, Derrick Henry, yep, Ryan Tannehill. Yep, all these guys that we know were leaders, they just don't have it right now. Not to say they will not, but because there have been so much turnover, They just don't have it right now.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Titans' leadership void. But coming up next, Vanderbilt, the number one overall seed in the College World Series, but they're not the betting favorite. Huh. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.